And now for our feature presentation.
Good afternoon. I'm Matt McCourt, and I have been producing TV shows and hosting TV shows since 1982. I started out with the Portland Music Television Show that was produced by Mark Hallison, and it was on Liberty Cable. I hosted that show, and the Wild Dogs was on all the time. And later on, Mark started a company called California Camera Cars, which are like trailers that have camera mounts, and you put a car in it, and the people aren't really driving. Like in Chips, have you ever noticed that the two guys, Ponch and John, ride side by side? They never seem to be ahead or back. It's one of those camera cars that have multiple cameras on there, and so it gives you a realistic feel instead of green screening the road behind him. But he's great. Thanks, Mark. I wish he still had the tapes, but he told me at A-Boy one day that his wife tossed him out in the rain. Damn. Those were great concerts for the Wild Dogs at the Pine Street Theater. But fast forward to the 1990s, heavy metal, nobody wanted to hear my bands by that time because, you know, grunge was happening and I was just over. And I got into comedy at the time and a comedy band called the Bloomstone Brothers, and I played Madison Avenue, which I still play Madison Avenue when I do comedy.
Please, won't you help?
These animals need your help. They were once animal stars, actors, but now they can't find work. They're broke, they're hungry, they're lonely.
It's so cold out here.
They need your help.
All we need is a little love.
Your donation of $100 or more will help them out a lot. Please donate to the Out of Work Animal Association today.
Please, won't you help? We're lonely, we're depressed, and we're hungry. It's up to you to save our life.
Thank you. Please donate to the Out of Work Animal Association.
Please, won't you help?
And I got into cable access in 1992. Tony Stetzel, Melissa's husband at the time, he said, "Matt, I need talent." And I said, "You sure do." And he said, "No, I want you to be my talent. I'm going to be a producer at Cable Access." And I had no idea what he was talking about. So he said, "Write some scripts and get back to me, and I'll let you know when we need it." So I went home, and for couple of weeks I did non-stop writing of comedy skits and characters, and I really put a lot of time into it. I just gotten separated from my ex-wife Angie and moved to my mom's house, and I was writing like a madman. So I keep calling up, and he said, "I'm not done with the classes." You had to take classes to become a producer. He totally flopped out and didn't do them, and so I said, "I'll do it." And I took the classes. They were free, and I could afford that. And thank you, Cable Access. You changed my life. And I started making television shows. The Madison Avenue Show was the first thing I did because, well, I was miserable enough for comedy anyway. And about that same time, I was doing open mics at Harvey's Comedy Club down by the bus station downtown Portland. And I actually opened for Paul Reiser one night, and I would go on stage with a guitar and these portable speakers and a little Zoom thing and play guitar. I should have just lip-synced, but it was more funny, I think, to have the speaker strapped on the guitar strap. And so I was making TV shows, the Madison Avenue Show. Then I started going to the Starry Night. Was it the Starry Night by then? Still? the Roseland, and shooting band. The first band I shot was Hotter Than Hell, a Kiss tribute. And I started making a show called Living Room Concert Hall, so that if you couldn't go to the show, you could always see what was going on there. And a lot of kids, a lot of young people, by the time I met them, said, "Oh man, I loved your show. I was too young to go to the show, but I could be there with your show." And so I thought that was kind of cool. And I never knew who watched the program or not. There's only one person that emailed me, and I'm still friends with her on Facebook. "Hi there, you know who you are. You asked me about the roadie school." And let's see, what else did I do? I did that for a while, and I shot every band for years. They came through Portland. In 1998, I started my own website called usmetal.com, and I started US Metal TV and started really doing national bands like Motorhead and Dio, a lot of the bands that Wild Dogs would open for, because I had a trio by that time with Mike Brown and Pete Loffman. And we opened for Great White and Dio and Blister Cult and Armored Saint and Thor, and I shot all the bands. I had the crews that would come and do that. I was in the stagehands union working all the concerts at the Moda Arena. So I had a really good road crew, and a lot of them did video. So they would shoot. I'd have like six camera guys. And so I got some really good video at the time. And I kept doing that forever. And then I went to school in 95 at Portland Community College because of cable access TV. And they told me that, Ellery Nelson told me that you should go to PCC. They got a good program there. You'll learn more and you really are good. You're going to be good after that. So I did, and I was. I started working in the movies. The movie production was, it wasn't as big as it got, but I was doing grip work on a lot of infomercials, like the Soloflex Ultralift. And I'd start off with my friend Kurt Smith, who actually became Christine Smith later on. And he said, "Matt, can you grip?" And I go, "Yeah." And so I went down to KON, Channel 6, CBS, and I helped him shoot and produce it was a Ron Tonkin ad, and the woman from, I don't know, what's that main, there's a main advertising agency in Portland. She said to me, she wasn't friendly, so that's it. She goes, "Don't you talk to the talent, don't say anything to them." I said, "Okay, who is it?" And she says, "It's Ed Tonkin and Brad." I go, "Oh, my cousins." So they came in, and they said, they saw me, and they said, "Hey, Matt, what's up?" And they came over and gave me a hug and said, "How's Mom?" And so you see, my stepdad was good friends with the Tonkins. My grandpa, who was a Jewish mobster, was in cahoots with these guys, and I'd been friends with them since I was like 5 years old. So the lady had a different look on her face after that. And so after that, Kurt told me to go down, and he would hook it up so I could work on these bumpers for the Cascade Film Association. And they had a bumper festival. So I did that, and from that, I got hired every week to be a grip or electric boy, and I worked in the movies for about a year, but they started pricing themselves out. I mean, they started to compete with the union rates, and that's why they came to Portland to shoot the spots. That Ultraflex, man, that was so funny. Dave, the guy that hired me, he said, "Hey, Matt, come down here. We need an extra guy. Are you busy?" I went, "Nope, I'll be there." And it was at KGW Studios downtown. So I went in there, and I found them. And it was the dressing room, and there's these beautiful women and guys, and they all kind of look fake. They all look rubbery. They're all kind of a weird brown, but they were fit. Keanu was the fitness model, and some NFL Super Bowl quarterback was an actor also. And I did that for 2 days and worked my ass off. That was a really labor-intensive job, all of them. But they fed you all day. And I worked on a movie called Out of the Wilderness with David Carradine. And the producer, Michael Murphy, who lives up the street from me, and went to school with his cousin or nephew or something. He had a lot of people in his family at Jesuit High School. And they liked me. Him and Don Zimmerman put me in the movie as a morning DJ. But it was a SAG film, so they couldn't have me work on the film and then be in it also. So I had to come back after it was done and do a voiceover. And that was the start of my voiceover career. It's stroke, as you can tell, kind of messed that up. But I've been producing TV shows ever since 1993, and here I am today. I do podcasts called the U.S. Metal TV Podcast. I do one called Tell Me About It. I've had Dean Castronovo from Journey, Vicious Rumors, Brian Allen from Vicious Rumors, John Gallagher. I love the guy. He's been on the show 3 times from the band Raven and their latest tour. I like to think I helped make it successful because he had been on the 3 times promoting the tour. And same with Jeff Thorpe from Vicious Rumors. Alejandro Mercado, a drummer that plays with John Five and also Alan Parsons. I met him. You see, when people buy stuff from me, the phone number is put on the postal address to ship the stuff. So I call people up and tell them, thank you. Last night I just talked to Wendy Kruger. And she bought a T-shirt, and she was the person that handles one of Dean's fan pages on Facebook. She's real nice. We talked for an hour. And I've met so many nice people by doing that. They can't believe the guy on the record actually calls them. But, hey, man, that's why I do it. You know, I'm not going to get rich. I just would like to meet the people who like the band and the music that I made along the way. I've made 46 records since 1980. I mean, what else am I going to do? I don't have a drug habit. No, all that stopped in December 5th, 1989. Actually, December 4th. I got pulled over after being on probation, and I drank like almost five half pints of vodka that day, and I went to an AA meeting the next day. The guy that took me to the first AA meeting was the drummer that played on Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. I didn't know that for years because of the anonymity. And that's easier for me to say. People say, it sounds like you got a mouthful of food, which I don't because I don't eat that much now. But anyway, I'm still doing TV. I love TV and video, and I love comedy, and I love music. That's just what I do. I'd like to say hi to my schoolmates, because I see them on Facebook. Debbie Taylor, Karen Christensen, I love you, babe. You're great. She is a girl that lived behind me, and I've known these people since I was like, 6 years old. Penny Bussman, Andrea Whitley, Charmaine Lowther, and Dana Cook, I think I kind of know you. At least we're friends on Facebook. And Bill Hoffman, the guy I'd learned how to play guitar with. That's a funny thing. We play guitar. I always wanted to jam all the time. And so my mom would offer to go pick these guys up and bring their amp and guitar over when I was like, 11, 12 years old. And most of them couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it. And I ended up learning how to play. I started playing drums when I was 5. My grandpa was a drummer in a swing band in the 40s. He made a lot of money. And that's when Portland had a lot of dance halls, like the Crystal Ballroom And where the big fountain is across from the Kettler Theater, that was Midtown Ballroom. He played there. They played these big places. And he made lots of money, but he got a spot on his lung. And the doctor said, you got to get out of these smoky places or you're going to get sick. And my uncle Homer, Homer Welch was also a drummer. And they had me playing drums when I was five. Put drumsticks in my hand and taught me Mama Papa. I play drums today, every day. It's my exercise. Good exercise, too. And Homer went to California to be a radio star on NBC in Burbank. And then when TV came around, they offered him a TV show. And he said, that's a science experiment. It's not going to last. And turned it down. It became the Ernie Kovacs show. If you know anything about TV history, Ernie Kovacs was a pioneer and really great. And a great actor and did some funny stuff and one of my biggest influences. Bertie Dunst, Dove Tonsils. So that's my story. You know, I'm just going to keep on the path here. And I would just like to say thank you all for watching and your support. And I really, truly appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing you all online. And like Amber Mandel, my manager at PCC, and Maggie Songer, and Ty Graham. Thank you for being my friend, and Seema, and Michael Kewen, and Preston, and Carissa in the parking department where I started, because when I it's funny, when the movie business just left and went someplace else, I was sitting here at early in the morning and the phone rings and Debbie never called me in the morning. This is before cell phones. And she said, I got a job, perfect job for you. You can work at PCC. And this is after 2001 on 9/11. And I said, okay, what's the job? She said, well, you'd be walking around and, you know, you like to talk to people. I go, yeah, what's the job? Well, you'd be telling cute girls how to get to class and where everything is. And, yeah, what's the job? Well, you'd be outside walking around the trees all day. I go, just tell me what the job is. I'm watching planes crash through the building right here in New York. Are you watching this? No. And she's like a big news hound, Debbie. So she finally says, it's writing parking tickets. I said, oh, I can do that. A scavenger hunt. So I started there and I never missed a day in 20 years. They kept moving me up and moving me up and up and up and up. Finally, I was delivering paper and copy jobs from the Fritz Center and drove around. And they even told me, you need a new van. Just go out and buy whatever you want and send us, just give me the bill. John Garner, my boss, in the parking. And I said, okay. So I went and got a Dodge Ram cargo van. It was a caravan, but it was cargo, no seats. And that thing was awesome. I used to drive to every campus every day. Probably a good reason why my blood pressure was so high. In traffic all day and moving all this paper. And I had to do it all in 4 hours because I was half time. But here I am today, and I'm focusing on U.S. Metal TV podcasts and Tell Me About It podcasts and the Madison Avenue show. And I've been putting out some specials like the Wild Dog special. It's a 30-minute show about the wild dogs using a photo that Pat Johnson gave me when we did a podcast from the Man's Best Friend's photo shoot. And everything is on usmetal.com if you're interested. And hopefully you are. And I just want to say thank you and good night. And I appreciate you. And I'll be back. Have a good weekend. I'm Matt McCourt.
Please, won't you help?
These animals need your help. They were once animal stars, actors, but now they can't find work. They're broke, they're hungry, they're lonely.
So cold out here.
They need your help.
All we need is a little love.
Your donation of $100 or more will help them out a lot. Please donate to the Out of Work Animal Association today.
Please, won't you help? We're lonely, we're depressed, and we're hungry. It's up to you to save our life.
Thank you. Please donate to the Out of Work Animal Association.
Please, won't you help?
Shake his in the house tonight. Let me see you now. Give us some peace.